Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Friday. Hope you're having a good day so far. We're excited about our next guest. He is the color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys on the radio side of things, former Indiana quarterback, and was drafted in the 1983 NFL draft by the Washington Redskins. We say hello now to Babe Loffenberg, who joins us now. Babe, how you doing?
Doing great. You know, it's funny about that 83 draft. You know, I don't get mentioned the way Elway and Kelly and Marino do.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a big deal, that draft.
Well, you know, it's funny. Gary Kubiak was also in that draft. I think he was like a ninth rounder by Denver. And I always used to kid him when I'd see him. I'd say, hey, why did we never get mentioned, you know? Well, maybe because we weren't Hall of Famers, huh?
Well, we certainly appreciate your time here today. I wanted to start, since you're, you know, obviously involved with the Cowboys, the Titans are conducting their coaching search, and there's two former Cowboys coaches that they have asked to talk to. Mike McCarthy, of course, who was there for a while, and then Jason Garrett, who's been doing TV for the last few years. I'll start with Garrett. Why do you think at this point he's ready to get back in the game, being a head coach again, and why would he be a good fit for the Titans?
Well, I guess in answer to your first question, I think he feels like kind of there's unfinished business. You know, they had good teams here, and they ran into Aaron Rodgers a couple times doing crazy things at the end of games, which they're not the first team to have that happen to. But and I think, you know, you get away from it a little bit, and I think that, you know, you want to scratch that itch again, and I think that's where he is. In full disclosure, you know, I've been friends with Jason Garrett for 30 years, so I will tell you I'm probably a little biased, but, you know, when you look at his record here with the Cowboys, you know, he took over a team. He was the interim coach for 8 games, and I believe it was 09, but they were 1-7. Then they went 5-3 the rest of the year. With a backup quarterback because Tony Romo had been injured. But actually, when he took over as the OC in 07, his first year as the OC here, you know, Tony Romo had 10 games under his belt. So he really developed – he doesn't get the credit for Romo, but he really developed Tony Romo. And then, of course, when he was a head coach, they take Dak Prescott with a fourth-round pick in the 2016 draft. And – you know, the interesting thing about Dak was the third-string quarterback that year. And Tony Romo injured his back in the preseason. Kellen Moore, who was the backup, broke his leg. So it wasn't a situation like you guys have with Cam Ward where you draft him and you say, okay, there's our starter. We'll give him all the reps in OTAs. We'll give him all the reps in training camp. You know, Dak Prescott, about 2 weeks before the season, became the starter. And they went 13-3 that year with Dak. And that was in large part, you know, Jason was the play caller at the time as well as the head coach. And they could have gone 14-2, quite honestly. They had the number one seed locked up, so they played Philly in the last game of the year and, you know, didn't play any of the starters. But it would have been the only Dallas Cowboys team to win 14 games in a season. And I'm still mad at Jason that he didn't play those guys just to get that thing. But anyway, 9 years here, one losing season. And I think he'd be great for Cam Ward. And the whole thing is, obviously, that you got to figure out a guy who's going to develop Cam Ward, and he's done it with two different quarterbacks.
What about McCarthy?
You know, I don't know Mike as well. Obviously, he was here. You know, so it's hard for me to – I mean, obviously, he's had some winning teams, you know, been to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, all that. So he certainly has credentials. As far as working with a quarterback, you know, Jason played the position for 15 years in the NFL, and I don't know. I'd be a big believer in Jason Garrett and the way he goes about things. I know too, you know, he wants to run the ball, and it's funny how, right, you guys have seen it. Running the ball kind of went out of fashion, right? It was all of a sudden, well, we don't need a running back. We don't need this. And then Saquon goes for 2,000 last year and everybody's looking for a running back. So I do know what one of his basic tenets is, we got to be able to run the football. And I'm sure he would establish that there.
Talking to Babe Loffenberg, you know, I watched Jason Garrett on TV. I mean, he seems like he's comfortable doing that, but I guess, Babe, once a coach, always a coach?
I think so. You know, you see, how many times do you see the John Grudens, and very few of them have stayed out. And if you're old enough to remember Dick Vermeil, I mean, he was out of coaching for, what, 15 years?
That's right.
Doing TV, and Joe Gibbs, right? He was probably gone for, I don't know, I'm trying to remember exactly, but you know, 8-10 years and went back to Washington. So, yeah, I think when you're a coach, I think when you decide you want to be a coach, that's kind of in your blood, and I don't think it ever leaves you. And that's why you see, again, Mike McCarthy, what, 63, 64?
Right.
Wanting to get back in, all these, you know, Bill Belichick going to North Carolina.
Yeah.
74, you know. Tom Moore, what, I know he just retired, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, what is he, 87?
Something like 80, that, yeah, right.
I mean, so, you know, it gets in your blood, and, it's hard to get it out, I guess.
Absolutely. Chase and I, you know, we're here in Nashville. You're outside the Nashville bubble. When you think about the Tennessee Titans right now, what do you think about, babe?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't see a ton of them this year. It's funny. I was just talking to somebody earlier today. When you're doing the games, when you're doing the Cowboy games, I'm there at the stadium 3 hours before the game. I leave about an hour and a half after it's over. So any of the Sunday games, unless I go back and look at them, I don't see them. And Tennessee obviously was not a national team. You didn't see them on Sunday Night Football a bunch, Monday Night, all that. I do know I liked Cam Ward coming out. Any young quarterback, almost any young quarterback, is going to go through growing pains. And, you know, certainly he went through that there. But, I've always, you know, I'm biased. Again, I like Nashville. I like the city.
Right.
who doesn't? But, you know, and many times, too, the Cowboys will be playing a team that I look at the last three or four games of the other team, and it just seemed like the Cowboys never lined up that they played a team that had Tennessee. So I saw a couple games, but I'd be lying if I said I could give you a real great evaluation of that team.
Oh, that's good. I mean, people are like, well, nobody wants to come to Tennessee, and I'm thinking, look, there's only 32 of these jobs in the world. Yep. People want to coach in the National Football League, right?
Well, and I know Dave Borgonzi is – Mike Borgonzi's brother, who, of course, is your GM, as you know, and he's a linebackers coach here for the Cowboys, and I've known Dave for a long time, and I think Mike Borgonzi is going to put that team, you know, on a good path. And, you know, it takes time. I know everybody wants things to turn around immediately, but it takes time to build these things. And, you know, it's funny. It happens quickly, and it can disappear quickly, as you guys have seen there, even in Tennessee. But you look at Detroit and Washington last year. You know, Washington's in the NFC Championship game. This year they go 5-12. So I was talking to a Bears fan today who was all doom and gloom. Oh, Packers are going to I said, look, enjoy it. He said, no, next year's going to be our year. I said, you know what? That's what Washington said last year. That's what Detroit said last year. They're not in the playoffs.
Babe Laufenberg is with us. Now, you played quarterback for Lee Corso at Indiana, so I have a feeling you got some plans tonight. You got to be excited about this.
Oh, yeah. You know, I went to the Rose Bowl, but as you can tell, and I apologize, I got a nasty head cold working and just a lot of travel with Cowboys and everything else. And I just said, I'm gonna sit on the couch and enjoy this. But, yeah, it's fun. And what's funny, guys, is people say – I was bragging a little bit the other day. I'm not one of those obnoxious fans, just so you know, but I was bragging a little bit. And they say, hey, act like you've been there. And I said, hey, we've never been here. I said, if we'd been there. But it's Mendoza. What a great story he is, as you guys know. Kurt Cignetti. I look at Cignetti, too, and I think about this, guys. How did this guy elude everybody in these coaching hires for 30 years, right? I mean, he was 61 when he gets hired at Indiana, and we know, obviously, you see what he's done there. So I want to go back and look at a Harvard case study and say, okay, what did this guy have that we missed as they hire all these other coaches that turn out to be failures? I mean, I'd love to bottle that up. But and let me just say that it is, and I've watched a bunch of Indiana. I have watched them. It is the most well-coached team, I think, at any level of football. They just do not make mistakes. They do not beat themselves. I go to the Rose Bowl. They had zero turnovers. They had one penalty. You're going to win a lot of games like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We had Tom Lugenbill yesterday. He talked about that defense has only had 11 penalties all year long. 11 penalties!
Yeah. They just – you will not see, as I say that, watch. They're going to get three personal fouls. Late hits right. And hitting guys in the bench. But they do not – I mean, they are the most – again, they are the most well-coached team that you will see. They just do not make mistakes. The tackling is outstanding. Very quickly – I did a little research. I had actually somebody else do the research. But when they played Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, Indiana had 8 zero-star players as starters.
Wow.
Eight guys with zero stars coming out of high school. Ohio State had nothing less than a 3-star. And we saw what happened in the game. And that's coaching.
It's absolutely coaching. You know, you spoke a moment ago about Dick Vermeil. You know, when Dick Vermeil came back to the NFL, he came back because a former Indiana quarterback was going to be his quarterback with the Rams, right? Yes. Trent Green.
Yeah, Trent Green.
Was his guy. So you and Trent Green and everybody else involved in this program, it's still, babe, I look at Indiana, thinking, oh, it's a basketball school, and I'm trying to convince myself how good they are. And I think when they win the national championship, I'll probably be able to say, that's a damn good football team.
Well, I think people, as you guys know, they're starting to come around to the fact that it's not a fluke, that these guys are it's a good team. They're well-coached. They have talent, all the above. And it's funny, somebody had said when Indiana played Alabama in the Rose Bowl, they said if you stripped the uniforms off Indiana and you just put Ohio State on all those players, they would have been 20-point favorites.
Right.
And they go out and they beat them by 35, right? It was funny. I'm leaving the game. Okay, you'll appreciate this. I'm leaving the game, and it's 38. We just beat Alabama 38-3. And I'm walking out, and there's an Alabama fan there, and they're obviously, you know, upset. They said, oh, if we had had Saban, if you had Saban, you would have lost 38-6. let's not pretend that Saban was worth 35 points here,
fellas. Oh, that's a good point. look, babe, you're good friends with Troy Aikman. And I think the Dolphins bringing in Troy as a consultant for their program and the GM was brilliant. And I don't know why more teams don't do the same. Even though he has no allegiance to the Dolphins, he knows football and he knows players. And I think that was just a great thing by the Dolphins to do that.
No, and I agree with you. I don't know why more teams don't get guys like him. I mean, here's a 3-time Super Bowl champ. And trust me, he wasn't a guy, as we know, he wasn't a guy that was on the team. You know, I went to the Super Bowl my rookie year with Washington, okay? I was the third quarterback. I never played a down. I can't take any credit that year for us going to the Super Bowl. He gets a lot of credit for them going and winning.
Yes.
I was teammates with Troy for 2 years, so I know the personality. I know the dedication. You can tell in the work he does on TV. He's prepared. Trust me, I will text him. Or I'll get a text from him at 5 in the morning. I wake up about 9. And I see, I got a text from Troy at 5, and he says he's watching tape of whatever the game is, right? So I think it's great. And again, yeah, to your point, why more teams don't do it. And the other part is, obviously, with his job, he's going around the league. So
yes.
Unlike me, who's covering one team, and I know other coaches around the league and keep up with them a little bit, but not the way he does. He's in those buildings. He's talking to people. I remember the guy you guys fired. He was a big Mike Vrabel fan. Before Vrabel became a head coach, and he was just saying, this guy is going to be really, really good. And I know you guys had him for a while, but he's doing pretty well in New England this year, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I wish we still had him, that is for sure. But Babe Loffenberg is with us. So I haven't mentioned this yet, but growing up, before the Titans were here, I was a huge Cowboys fan, and I still am. Uh-huh. I mean, I still love the Cowboys. And in doing my research for this interview, I have to ask you about this because Daryl Moose Johnston was one of my favorite players. Did you give him the nickname Moose?
I sure did.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, quick story on that. So we're sitting in the running backs and tight ends, you know, they go in with the offensive line for kind of half the meetings, if you will. They get the run game and the blocking. And then they come down for the passing game with the quarterbacks and receivers. So I'm sitting next to Troy in our meeting room, and, you know, there's a break, and in come the running backs and tight ends. Well, we had a bunch of 5'9 running backs at the time. They're coming through the door, and we're just seeing them kind of walk in. And I just said to Troy, I said, look at Daryl. I said, the guy is a moose among the deer. Because here comes Daryl, you know, 6'3", 245, with all these 5'9", 180-pound guys. So I just said, and then it just stuck. It was one of those things. You know, I don't know how you got Big Joe. Big Joe, is there a little Joe out there somewhere?
It's my son, and he's bigger than I am.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
Right?
So you know how some names, hey, I'm Babe, for God's sake, right? I was Babe since I was 2 years old. So some nicknames stick, and it wasn't like I said, hey, I'm gonna name him Moose, and he's going to make a fortune off of that nickname. But and it was perfect. I mean, Moose Johnston what better name for a fullback, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you tell me how's Daryl Johnson doing, I'm like, who? If you say Moose Johnson, right. I'm like, oh, Moose. Yeah, I know Moose. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Every time, if I leave him a message or if I call him, or if he calls me even, the first thing is not, hey, how you doing or what? It's, we give a Moose call. Now, and I will tell you this. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I actually don't know what a Moose sounds like when you give a Moose call, but I give one. I do it to the best of my ability.
I love that.
Nice. Now, Babe, did you play for Jimmy for a little bit?
I did, 2 years. Yep. It was funny when I came here in 89, which was Jimmy's first year, Jimmy Johnson, of course, and I get released in training camp of 91, and I go into the office, and, you know, at that time, it's coach wants to see you bring your playbook type thing. So I go in, and I had a good relationship with Coach Johnson, but anyway, he said, hey, Babe, he said, I appreciate all your work. I think you're a good player. You've done a lot for this football team. Really, really appreciate everything about you. But he said, we're going to just go in a different direction at quarterback. And I said, Coach, I said, now, are you sure? I said, I'm a good player. I've done everything you've asked. I'm a leader. Sure you want to get rid of me? And he just laughed, you know, the Jimmy. I'm pretty sure we're going to do this. I told him, I said, that sounds like the kind of player you want to keep around, Coach. And he just got a chuckle. Let me ask you this.
You were there. Why did he ever bring in Steve Walsh? Was it to fire Troy up a little bit?
There's a lot of revisionist history there. But why would you – are you guys going to draft a guy in the first round this year to fire up Cam Ward?
I hope not.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, so – and that's why they had a very – you know, Jimmy and Troy are like best buddies now and have been for a number of years. But – there was a very contentious relationship between those two the first couple of years because, okay, think about it. Here's a guy. You just took Troy number one, right, overall. And then in the supplemental draft that year, Jimmy takes the quarterback that just won a national championship for him. Now, how would that make you feel? Like, oh, yeah, this guy really believes in me.
Yeah, right.
And so it was, again, it was contentious. I'll never forget, we're ready to play the Rams in Los Angeles. Troy and I were roommates on the road and you know, at the hotels and all that. And he was wanting to be traded. It was about week 10. Oof. And he was beside himself. And he said, I'm getting out of here. And I said, I thought to myself, this is the day of the game, right? I mean, we'll wake up, we're talking before we get on the bus. And I'm thinking, this is not a good mindset to go and play an NFL game when you're sitting there ready to say, I may go to him at halftime and say, trade my ass.
But oh my.
We come out, I'm the backup. We run a in route, a little simple. Anyway, it's like 3rd and 10. He throws into, well, we call it cover 5. There were 5 guys on the receiver. I mean, jeez. And this ball's intercepted, and it's the very first third. It's like the third play of the game, and I just thought to myself, okay, I'm going in. This guy, he can't function. Anyway, long and short, we come back. He has a great game by the end of it. We beat the Rams, get on a little bit of a roll, and that kind of turned things around. But it's funny how relationships work, right?
Yes.
Again, he wanted out, and then he ends up winning 3 Super Bowls with Jimmy. And, again, they are basically best friends.
That is fantastic. Did you watch the documentary that came out recently?
I did not. There's a lot of revisionist history and that thing, so I didn't even bother. I was there. I lived it. I know it. I'm friends with these guys. I know what happened. So,
yeah.
I've never watched a soap opera, and so I wasn't going to start with this one.
I do know
people loved it, and that's great, you know.
Yeah.
But I hate to say when you're sort of on the inside and you're like, well, that didn't happen. Yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah,
right.
That didn't happen.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I get it. I totally get it.
But it makes good, obviously, TV, good viewing.
Yeah. For sure. Babe, thanks so much for doing this today. I know our mutual friend Greg Pogue set it up, and we appreciate that. But really good stuff, and we'd love to do it again down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and have a great weekend. Enjoy the Indiana win tonight and the weekend of NFL football.
Absolutely. We will. Yes. Thank you, Babe. Right. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Babe Laufenberg joining us, the color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys and former Indiana quarterback. That was fun.
Right, we could do 3 hours with him.
I know.
That was great. I love the stories.
Thank you, Pogie.
The little stories, the sidebar stories that happened, which developed where they are, but really cool. That was nice.
We will come back with more. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Michelle Kennedy will join us here in a few minutes. Appreciate Babe Laufenberg for joining us. Joe, I'm going to give you some stats for two coaches, and you tell me which one you want.
Okay.
All right. Coach number one has a winning percentage of 620, has spent over 15 years as a head coach, 12-10 in the playoffs, 5 division titles, and has won a Super Bowl. Coach number two has a winning percentage of 619, over 15 years as a coach, 11-11 in the playoffs, 7 division titles, and has won a Super Bowl.
So one is Harbaugh, one's McCarthy, right?
That is correct.
Well done. Yeah, I just the Super Bowl thing there and the demands Harbaugh's making, I'll pass. I'm not a fan of McCarthy. I'm just not. You know, here the thing is, everybody we talk to, what's the one thing they say about a new coach has to do? Develop Cam.
Yep.
Who is the best coach going to come and develop Cam Ward, right? Robert Saleh is not. Head coach, right? Now, you can hire the people, but the head coach relationship with the quarterback. And I think the one that Matt Nagy has with Patrick Mahomes could work with Cam Ward. At least on paper, it could.
Paul Kuharsky reported that Jason Garrett's interview with the Titans today is in person.
Oh, okay.
So he is in the building.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they were just like, you know what, we're going to go with
and they make the announcement. I think he does okay on Sunday Night Football. I'm not a fan, but again, he's probably not a fan of mine, which is good. But look, he's got – and what here, Babe Laufenberg, how he developed Romo, I mean, that's something to be said for, you know?
So they – According to Kuharsky, they have completed interviews with Mike McCoy, Vance Joseph, Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo, and Matt Nagy, and then Jason Garrett's today.
They've already done all those?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's pretty quick, right?
So they've been busy.
I think because a lot of other teams, if you're the Dolphins, you're going to look – every other team's going to look at Matt Nagy, right?
Sure.
Because on the surface, you took the Bears to the playoffs. People are like, oh, you don't want to hire him. He's an ass. All right. You know, most of these coaches are, right?
Right.
We know this. But if you're Atlanta, I mean, why would you not hire him?
Sure.
So better be quick before you go someplace else.
So there you go. That's the latest on that. Coming up next, Michelle Kennedy will join the show. Predators back in action this weekend. We'll talk to her next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Hope to hear this song quite a bit over the next few days. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Here on this Friday, we say hello to Madam President Michelle Kennedy, who joins us now on the program. Hello, Michelle. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Made me feel right at home playing that song as we lead into this.
Well, we want to hear it a lot at Bridgestone Arena. We heard it some last night. We want to hear it tomorrow night and Sunday night and Tuesday night on this homestand. But it's been a while since the Predators have been at home. Come back last night, get the shootout win, 14 of the last 21. Things going good for the team in gold.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot more fun to be on this side of it than the other. We, as you said, we weren't home for quite a while, but Preds fans certainly enjoyed watching our team pick up some points on the road. And then last night in the arena was great. Vibes were really high. We had a great crowd. It was an ESPN broadcast. Our scouting staff's in town right now, so we get to see some familiar faces that we don't see that often, including the GOAT. Pecorine. So it was a fun night to be back. We're in the middle of now 4 games in 6 days and hope to keep piling up the points.
How cool is it for somebody that's been with the organization for a long time to now be at that point as a franchise where, you know, you have guys like Pekka, you know, that come back and obviously he's working for the team, but you have other players that come through that are since done with their career that now this organization is old enough to enjoy those things and also be a part of having a Hall of Fame player hit the 600 goal mark in a Predators uniform. I mean, these are all really cool things to see as a franchise grows.
Yeah, it is. It is really special to have, you know, we have a Golden Hall now. We have a lot of things that teams in their infancy don't have. And then the Stamkos celebration last night, you know, he has not been a part of our organization for all that long, but he has certainly made a profound impact on this community and a profound impact on the hockey world. And to have been a part of celebrating his 600th goal was just really, really special. You know, it's And it's something you don't really think about that much. But when he scored it while we were on the road, I saw a social media graphic that someone posted that he's one of three active players. He, Sidney Crosby, and Alex Ovechkin. Wow. What company to be in. And then to be the 22nd player, I think, in the history of the NHL to do it, it was really, really special to be a part of that and just to see him be honored in that way. It's great to see him find his groove on the ice. You know, it's been a little bit of a clunky start for him here, but it's great to see him having fun out there again. And wow, what an incredible honor. And that gold stick, I took the time to sweep by Hockey Ops yesterday. Look at that. That thing is heavier than I am, and it is just beautiful. The engraving is just gorgeous. We had, there were some white gloves sitting by, you know, like Pritchard, who carries the Stanley Cup around. I felt a little bit like him yesterday looking at that stick, but it was just a really, really cool experience that we got to see Stephen be honored in that way.
Well, and make sure that you listen and make sure Mr. Henry knows that we have both Willie's call and Max's call all over some promos right now, because both did a fantastic job with that, of calling that 600 goal. So we've had some fun with that here at the station.
That's awesome. So, I mean, again, for those guys, for everyone who was a part of it in any way at all, it's something that's, you know, unforgettable. Just doesn't happen that often, as evidenced by the statistics around it.
We're talking to Michelle Kennedy on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Michelle, last time you were here, the Nick Saban thing hadn't really broke publicly like it has. Were you amazed at all the publicity that the organization got for Coach being part of y'all's ownership group now? Because I got to tell you what, Michelle, it exploded everywhere, and which is great.
It did. I mean, the moment that it was announced, you know, there were a few of us who just had hallway conversations right after. Like, I mean, our cell phones blew up. Everybody's like, what? You know, I got an equal, initially I got an equal number of inbound saying, this is really cool. And is this real? Is this fake news? So, you know, it was unexpected and fun. And, you know, when you can align yourself with someone who is generally regarded as the greatest of all time, and they're in the coaching profession in college football, you take that opportunity. So credit to Bill Haslam for making that happen. And it's been, you know, we're 5-3 since the announcement.
Right. So, yeah.
So maybe some of that winning history is wearing off on us already, which is awesome. It's been really fun.
Oh, and I love it.
It really has demonstrated just, I mean, that guy is hugely famous. Everybody everywhere wants to talk about it. No matter what scenario we've been in since the December 15th announcement, everybody wants to talk about Coach. So it's been really fun.
I got to
go and coach around.
Well, I got to imagine have you been in a lot of meetings with him? I know he hasn't spent a lot of time here, but you know, everybody I've talked to that's met him is like, man, this guy just he demands, without saying it, he demands perfection, which I think is really cool.
Pretty cool to listen to. When we met him back as all this process was starting, you know, you sit in a room and just listen to him talk about his philosophy and how he accomplished what he did, it gets your attention. And it was, so it's been really fun to get to know him. There is, though, you know, another side that he's been a really, really fantastic guy to get to know. Nice person. His wife, Miss Terry, is salt of the earth. His business partner, Joe Gresty, has been fun to get to know as well. So, yeah, I think certainly he has a competitive pedigree that is not a secret. But they have proven in a very short period of time to be partners that are great to have around. And, again, kudos to Bill Haslam for identifying the opportunity and bringing him in.
I love it. Michelle, we got back-to-back this weekend. Next Tuesday there's a home game, Dierks Bentley bobblehead. It's a fun time to be a Nashville Predator, I would think.
We've got 6 more home games in January and 2 in February before the Olympic break. It is fun. You know, we've got the Oilers coming to town next Tuesday, playing them a week from give us a chance a week later to avenge a loss in Edmonton earlier this week. And we've got a lot of different reasons to come to the building. We have something for everyone. We have Black Music Heritage Night coming up. We've got a University of Tennessee night coming up on the 24th. As you said, Dierks Bentley's bobblehead night is on Tuesday. So, you know, no reason not to come out and watch our team with our four Olympians before the Olympics start. So congratulations to Phil Forsberg, UC Saros, Eric Halla, and Roman Yosi for being chosen to represent their countries in the Olympics, which is a tremendous honor.
Michelle Kennedy is with us. All right, now you know I have to bring up the other gold team down on West End, and that would be the undefeated both men's and women's Vanderbilt Commodores basketball team. You got to be excited about that.
On fire. My goodness. And, not, you know, so you know, people can talk a little trash about, well, have their wins been quality? You can't say that now. The women beat LSU last weekend. The men beat Alabama this week. They are legit. Candace and her crew over there are killing it. And I am so happy, you know, coming off an historical football season. They just continue bringing excellence to everything they're doing. And I'm happy for them and proud of them.
Yeah, I know you, you got to be excited about it. Well, we're excited about this homestand, going to be in the building tomorrow against that that team from Chicago. And I said this earlier to Joe that it's been a while, mainly on their end, that a Predators and Blackhawks game has met this much. But fighting for that playoff spot, going to be a lot of fun. Might bring up some old times tomorrow night.
I think it could get a little bit scrappy out there. I think we might see it'll be a fun game to watch. Most important thing, everybody wear your gold. Come out. Drown out the red. It's a gold game. We geodated it, so we should have a whole bunch of gold. But come, be loud, be rowdy, and let's get our guys a couple more points.
Absolutely. Michelle, appreciate it as always. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. See you guys. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Michelle Kennedy, the president and COO of the Nashville Predators, joining us here on the program. And I always enjoy talking to her or Sean on Fridays. And it should be a fun one tomorrow. I'm excited about it. Going to take in a little Vandy LSU on West End and then Preds Blackhawks tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena.
Oh, you dropped something. You dropped your you dropped some. What's the
how cool I am?
Yeah. You dropped your itinerary over there, man. I got to pick it up.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what I do.
Clay your driver?
Hell no.
No, he wants to get home safe and sound, right?
No, I don't need to run over people in bushes. And
if you want a fun time on the weekend, I feel like that's NASCAR 2.0.
Yeah, that's living dangerously. No. That's what that is. We'll come back, tell you what day it is, and celebrity birthdays, and wrap up the week. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Friday, wrapping things up for the week. DVD coming your way here in just a few minutes. I appreciate everybody for joining the show today. Had a lot of fun, and we'll see what the Titans coaching search brings over the weekend. And I guess this is the first time on this show we'll make this joke. When they have a coach, it will be two-tone blue smoke coming out of St. Thomas Sports Park, and that's how we'll know they have selected a coach.
All right. Yeah, dude, you seem to do that joke every year. You know why?
Say it again. With those nuggies.
You seem to do that joke every year. You know why?
Because they're hiring somebody every year.
Right. They're always looking for
I think last coach. Year you made it. So
might have been.
We just alternate years of who's going to
do it again
make
next
it.
Year, too.
Bobby Petrino has been hired as the offensive coordinator for North Carolina and Bill Belichick.
Good Lord. All right. Well,
so
we know how that's all going to end.
The Phillies' Max Kepler has been suspended for 80 games. For testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug that I can't pronounce.
Can you try, like Dr. Crane?
Epetrombolone. Epetrombolone.
Watch out now. Like. Oh, my gosh.
My grandmother used to make that.
So. Oh, fried bologna?
Fried bologna's the best.
Get out of here. That sounds so good right now.
I agree. With that, Dr. Crane, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
Okay, first on the list, we have Balloon Ascension Day. I think balloons ascend in the air. That's
what awesome. They're supposed to do.
Isn't that right?
International Choreographers Day, National Apricot Day. You guys ever had apricots?
I have.
Apricot jelly?
I have not.
That is pretty good. National, oh
yes.
Boy.
Yes. Come on.
I believe it's like, looks like casserole, but it's not casserole. It's like Cassoulet Day. I don't know.
What is the, what's the picture?
It looks like a bunch of sausage and beans and in a
bar,
giant skillet.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
National Static Electricity Day. And then the last two on the list, I think. Yeah, last two. National Word Nerd Day. So if you like a word and you're a nerd, this is your day. And then the last one is National Play God Day. So
we don't do that.
No, we don't.
What's your favorite nerd word?
I don't know.
Nefarious. I've always liked that word.
Nefarious.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Is there a definition behind that?
Yeah, look it up, pal. I don't give you things for free.
Well, if it's your favorite word, you should know the definition.
Well, I want you to look it up. As I told you, you should look it up.
It's not my job. I think that's Chase's job to hit you first.
And also, you should never give away your pie for free. All right. Is that it?
That's all we got.
All right.
Did you see the... Okay, never mind. I'll ask you about this later.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You have to get these within 2 years of each other. Dr. Crane, you go first. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
How old is former NASCAR driver Mark Martin? Y'all are about the same height.
Mark Martin is, I don't know, 52.
62.
67. Chaser, we had our question.
Here's the funny thing about Mark Martin. He has looked 67 since he was 37.
Our question today was, who's the coolest dude of sports all time? This next guy could have qualified. Muggsy Bogues. How old is Muggsy Bogues?
64.
58.
61. Dr. Crane, how old is former National Predator Radek Bonk?
I loved him.
He loved you too.
46.
45.
He's 50.
Is he really?
Radek Bonk is 50. Chaser, how old is Ocho Cinco?
44.
39.
48. Dr. Crane, Sergio Garcia.
I'm going to go 43.
57.
46. 00. Chaser, Joan Baez, folk singer.
77.
60.
85. Dr. Crane, the best guitar player of all time, Jimmy Page. How old is Jimmy Page?
72.
78.
82. Chaser, your favorite singer, one of your favorite singers. I know you've seen her at the Opry many times, Crystal Gayle.
Tried to grow my hair as long as she has it, too.
Keep doing it.
Crystal Gayle, 81.
77.
75. Dr. Crane's on the board. Dr. Crane, the great actor J.K. Simmons.
Oh, he was in Whiplash with Miles Teller. Great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to go 68.
72.
71. Tied at one. Wasn't he... Peter Parker's boss.
Yep.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Also in the State Farm commercials.
He's in the State. Or,
that's right.
Was it State Farm or
Farm Bureau? Maybe.
Farm Bureau. Yeah.
Farm Bureau. Chaser, Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band.
Jeremy Gover, where are you when I need you? Dave, I'm going to say is like 62.
Deep cuts only. 65.
59. Dr. Crane, your favorite Backstreet Boy, AJ McLaren, whatever, AJ something.
I'm going to go 52.
Who'd you say?
AJ McLean, the Backstreet Boys.
51.
48. My goodness.
We're bad today.
Chase McCabe, how old is actor Dion Cole from Black-ish? Very funny comedian.
47.
45.
55. Good Lord.
By the way, Caleb... says Jimmy Page is not the best guitar player of all time. LMAO, best and popular are two different things. Caleb, I missed the memo that said you got to decide that.
Caleb, Jimmy Page
open to interpretation
is the best guitar player of all time. All right, we're gonna finish it out right here. This is it's 1-1. Dr. Crane, how old is Catherine, Princess of Wales?
Is that Kate? Can we just call her Kate?
I don't know. Dude, I'm not an Anglophile. I don't know. Is it Kate?
What?
Somebody who loves and studies the British. I don't.
Okay. I'm about to say, are you filing something? I'm going to go, let's see, fairly young. 42.
I was going to say 43.
At the buzzer, Chase McCabe. She's 44.
Okay. All right.
Wins 2-1. Is it? Is that who it is? I mean, this is the list I got here.
I think it is. And Caleb, I'm just messing with you. But
yeah, Caleb, call in sometime, buddy.
Look, the greatest guitarist of all time discussion.
We could do a totally 6-hour show on that.
Like Ricky says, Hendrix. I mean, I don't know if there's a wrong answer.
Steve Cropper recently passed.
Yeah.
One of the best of all time.
I mean, one of my favorites of all time has since passed away is Prince.
Okay.
And people didn't view him as that because he could sing and, you know.
Yeah. For me personally, Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with him. I mean, I grew up with all that. He was a huge part of my life.
Yeah. We got a couple of minutes here. Who wins tonight?
Until Indiana does in Indiana.
See, that's the thing. That's been my whole. I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on Oregon, and that's probably dangerous because I think Oregon's a good team. But I'm the same way of I have been proven wrong on Indiana this entire season. So, what I mean, until somebody beats them, I'm just going to say.
I would have lost money every time they played.
But I have this weird feeling that Monday, January 19th, will be Miami versus Oregon. I have this weird feeling.
Okay. You should bet on that feeling today.
I could be wrong, but – I don't know.
You should do that. Put it down. Put the money down.
Everything tells me Indiana, but this little weird feeling.
I have a friend, real quick,
you have a friend.
That has put a lot of money down on winning the national championship in basketball. Your Vanderbilt Commodores.
They're pretty legit right now. I mean, that was a gutsy win against Alabama, and I don't even think they played their best. We'll see tomorrow at Memorial against LSU.
I have a friend of mine who's going to be there tomorrow.
Do you?
You.
Me? Are we friends? I'm glad we're friends.
We
That's
are.
Good.
We are. It's quitting time.
It is. That is going to do it for us. DVD coming up next.
As we always leave the show, look, guys, you made it through the worst week of the year. You made it, right? This is the worst week, the new year. You're back to the schedule. You're here, and we're so proud that you're here. You're doing so well that we want to just say thank you and we love you. Lynn, again, go to therapy, talk to somebody, know your value, know your worth, know there are people out here that depend on you, that love you, that when they think about you every time you met, they smile because they think about you. You have so much value in this world. I need you here to walk your daughter down the aisle. I need you here to hold your grandbaby. I just need you here, man. Our world's a better place because you were here. Know that we love you, and more importantly, more than anything else in this world, guys, know that God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD next. 102.5 The Game.